I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
President Biden has invoked executive privilege to prevent the American people from hearing the audio recordings of his testimony with Special Counsel Robert Hur. The American people will not be able to hear why prosecutors felt the President of the United States was, in Special Counsel Robert Hur's words, a, quote, elderly man with a poor memory and thus shouldn't be charged. Just think about that for a moment. President Biden is apparently afraid for the citizens of this country and everyone to hear those tapes. They obviously confirm what the special counsel has found and would likely cause, I suppose, in his estimation, such alarm with the American people that the president is using all of his power to suppress their release.
That is a key point. Now, that was announced the other day by Speaker Johnson. The House wants to hear the audio tapes and see any videotapes that were made of Special Counsel Hur discussing classified documents being held by Joe Biden. Joe Biden admits, and Robert Hur stated to the Congress, he admitted that, yes, he had documents, he had mishandled them, and in fact, he admitted he turned over some documents, classified documents, to someone writing his book for him that he's being paid $8 million for. That's a quick way to make money, isn't it? But they don't want the audio or videotapes released, so they'd released the transcript late last week. Now they're making changes to the transcript that apparently the transcript doesn't exactly coincide, because if they end up having to release the audio tapes, videotape, whatever they have available, they're going to find discrepancies. But it's more than that. It's a matter of hearing and watching if the video is there, Joe Biden and his response. You can sit and read the book, whatever book you choose, all day long. But then when it is put on the movie screen, maybe with poetic license and maybe with some changes were in the book, it gives you a whole new dimension. And that's what Joe Biden does not want the American public to see moving forward to November. Thanks for joining us. This is hour number one of Larry Connors USA. And reminding you, when we're on the air, we are streaming video for you. But we're here every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. And the streaming video can be seen at News Talk STL Rumble, Facebook, and Twitter. You can go there right now and watch it. And also, Larry Connors USA Facebook, if it's working. We're still having difficulty with it. Or Larry Connors USA Twitter. And Larry Connors USA Rumble. We're available on all these platforms and more. If you miss anything, you can pull up pre-broadcast of any program, audio and or video, at LarryConnorsUSA.com or Larry Connors USA Twitter. And hopefully at Larry Connors USA Facebook again if it's working properly. We're still trying to resolve. I don't want to put all the blame on Facebook, although I know that we have had messages from them from time to time that you're breaking rules, naughty boy. And we just kind of, well, maybe they slapped back last, I don't know. Anyway, glad to have you with us. And we're speaking, of course, about this Robert Hur questioning of Joe Biden and the value that it has for the American public to see in advance of the election. It should give you, by either audio and or video, a good idea just how competent your president currently is as he's being questioned by Robert Hur. Now, Jamie Raskin, New York Democrat congressman, a couple months ago, right after Hur released his report, he drove down the points that Hur was showing that Biden was everything and answering everything and looked all good and solid, but that's, of course, based upon transcripts and Hur's analysis. Let's go back to Raskin raising those questions.
Mr. Herr, your report starts with the line, we conclude that no criminal charges are warranted in this matter. Have you had any reason to change your opinion about that?
No, Congressman. No, ranking member.
You highlight the independence and support you got from the Attorney General and DOJ. Have you changed your mind about that?
I have not.
The report describes President Biden's cooperation in your requests. He allowed his homes to be searched. He answered questions for hours in the midst of a global crisis. Have you had any reason to change your mind about that?
No, ranking member.
So everything her said is not changing his mind. In other words, Raskin's trying to build a case that Biden is absolutely clear of any concern and wrongdoing. You don't need to hear or see the interview itself. Just accept the transcript. No, damn it. We want whatever audio and or video was made, and we know it was. We want it for the American public. That is why Joe Biden used executive privilege to declare this is not for the public to see. Why would he do that? You know why. He does not want you, the American public, to see how incompetent he is at this point. And how Robert Hur's decision was eventually, there's no sense bringing charges against this man. He'd appear to be a sympathetic old man with memory loss, stuttering, fumbling around, and no one would want to convict him. That was Robert Hur's basic assessment. Let's go back to Jim Jordan raising the question just the other day again about the Hur tapes and the difference, the hypocrisy that exists in the DOJ when it comes to Biden, and of course, Donald Trump.
Was the decision not to prosecute consistent with the Department of Justice's commitment to impartial justice? That's the fundamental question. President Trump is getting prosecuted for a classified documents concern. Joe Biden isn't. Biden isn't because, this is what the special counsel said, he said, Mr. Biden's memory appeared to have significant limitations, both at the time he spoke to his monitor in 2017 and as evidenced by their recorded conversations and today as evidenced by the recorded interview with our office. That's why we want the audio tape. President Trump is the department being impartial. President Trump is getting prosecuted. We know what's going on in Miami. President Biden isn't, and he isn't because of that statement from the special counsel. That statement from the special counsel in light of the facts of the case. The elements of the crime have been met. Mr. Hur sat right at that table and told us Joe Biden knowingly kept classified information and knowingly disclosed classified information.
So the question again from Jim Jordan, why isn't he being charged if you're going to charge Donald Trump as they have? Let's see or hear the audio tapes. By the way, in the Trump hush money trial today in New York, an interesting visitor, I wouldn't say surprise necessarily, she's looking for all the attention she can get, Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett showed up. Yes, she showed up to show not support for Donald Trump, but probably to support Alvin Bragg, the prosecutor. Now, Jasmine Crockett and Marjorie Taylor Greene really had I know it's politically incorrect, but I'm going to say it again, a cat fight last week in Congress. Now there's a new addition to that. The race card is being pulled. Oh, we'll get to that before we wrap up this hour for you. Back to Joe Biden. I'm going to say I commend him because he is stepping forward, condemning the International Criminal Council prosecutor that's charging Netanyahu with war crimes.
Let me be clear. We reject the ICC's application for arrest warrants against Israeli leaders. Whatever these warrants may imply, there is no equivalence between Israel and Hamas. Contrary to allegations against Israel made by the International Court of Justice, what's happening is not genocide. We reject that.
I'm glad to hear him state it, not just have a statement issued. And, of course, the applause was there, but I will guarantee you not every progressive, regressive Democrat or regressive, progressive Democrat is applauding. They still think Biden is too cozy with Israel, and this proves it in their mind. On one hand, he's fighting to keep swing states, such as Minnesota and others, that have high Muslim populations. He can't afford to lose them, and they want Hamas to be a successor to what happens in Gaza, and they want Israel to stop killing Hamas members, claiming, of course, civilian casualties. We're going to come to that as well. But I want you to hear from the special prosecutor for the International Criminal Council, Karim Khan, explaining why he filed the charges.
Nobody is above the law. No people, by dint of birth or passport, religion, nationality, or the color of their skin, have a get-out-of-jail-free card, have a free pass to say, well, the law doesn't apply to us. Every human life, every baby that is killed, whether it's a baby that's cruelly abducted by Hamas and killed, or a baby that's been bombed or killed or has died in incubators because of no electricity or water or food in Gaza, for them, for their families, and for humanity, it's a tragedy. And this is why we have a court. It's about the equal application of the law.
And he did file charges also against several Hamas leaders. But the fact that he's charging Benjamin Netanyahu when he's defending his nation and going after the terrorist that invaded his nation and slaughtered babies and innocent civilians and took hostages into Gaza and hiding them in the web of tunnels, there is no equivalency. Biden is right to the point on that. There is no moral equivalency to what Hamas did to what Israel is doing in response. And you cannot start preaching proportional numbers. If you're going to do that, you could have to say the U.S. is guilty of international crimes because we dropped a bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, because we killed millions more than the Japanese did throughout the entire war, much less at Pearl Harbor. It's not a proportional issue. It's a matter of subduing the enemy and winning. Now, former Trump National Security Advisor and one-time U.S. Ambassador John Bolton was on CNN, and he was discussing the charges against Netanyahu, and he also offered a touch of praise to Joe Biden.
Well, Biden is half right. What's really illegitimate here is the International Criminal Court itself. It's a fantasy. It's a piece of government, not a whole government, a piece of government floating around in the international ether, unchecked by executive or legislative power, utterly unable to enforce its judgments, and acting in a way that's predictably irresponsible. You know, for many years, people have referred to Israel as the canary in the coal mine on behalf of the United States. This is another example, because what this rogue prosecutor, this utterly unaccountable court is doing here against Israel, they're going to do against us soon enough.
That's true. They will do it, unless we start denouncing it right now. And then on top of what they will do in the future and the fact that they're overstepping any bounds they should have and any authority, which they do not have, John Bolton, again, former Trump National Security Advisor and U.S. Ambassador, pointed out, this court in itself is inept.
This court is not the body to prosecute anybody. The court has also indicted Vladimir Putin in connection with Russia's invasion of Ukraine. That's the wrong way to do it, too. You can't. The charge of moral equivalence gives legitimacy to the court, in effect, if they indict really bad guys, they're in favor of it. And the fact is, it's the court itself that's fundamentally flawed. The example is right here in this case. This unaccountable prosecutor is interfering right in the middle of active conflict. Now, in a real government with real power, in our case, the president has both the war power and the prosecution power, and sometimes has to make a trade-off. This utterly unaccountable prosecutor didn't make any trade-off at all. And I think people should ask, does this now make settling the conflict in the Middle East easier or harder? It won't matter to the prosecutor, because he'll never be held responsible for it.
No, he won't. And I should add to this now, we're getting the word that France is now going along with the ICC prosecutor, deciding, yes, you should go ahead and prosecute Netanyahu. Now, again, the way this works, the prosecutor has issued his charges, both against Netanyahu and two of his leaders and members of Hamas. And then a panel of judges will decide, do we proceed with a trial? Not likely, but who knows in this woke world what's going on. And if France is now breaking with other Western nations and saying, yes, Netanyahu should be held responsible. And the other part is, keep in mind, this is going on while they're in the midst of the war. Imagine World War II, when we've got troops dispersed across the face of the globe in Europe, and of course going after Japan and the islands, and suddenly the word comes out that the International Criminal Commission under the UN has decided it's going to prosecute our president, FDR at the time, and later Truman, for the war that's underway. Because obviously civilians are being killed with bombings and things of this nature. I don't relish the thought of killing any civilian. And they may or may not have been held in a hostage situation, as we see with Hamas. More than likely, they were just trying to live their lives, but they're in an occupied country that is occupied by Germany. We're trying to drive Germans out of it. I should say Hitler's forces, because not all Germans were in favor of this either. But you're going to have, and I hate this term, but it's apropos, collateral damage. That would be civilians. No one likes that. And Bolton, again, pointing out the reality of the situation.
The one silver lining in this cloud, when you look at the self-righteous, grandstanding, publicity-seeking prosecutor there, I think this is the ICC digging its grave in this country. I think I would be happy to predict right here. I don't think the U.S. is going to join the ICC within the lifespan of anybody watching this program, because the targets of this prosecutor are fundamentally irrational. To proceed against a free, law-abiding, democratic society in the way that it did shows it's not tethered to a rule of law itself.
Not as we're seeing at this point. By the way, it's a development today that I am going to have to speak out against of what Israel is doing. We have the Associated Press. It had equipment watching, constantly watching, monitoring parts of Gaza. Israel has now confiscated all that equipment, shut down any feeds, and the response from press groups and the Foreign Press Association saying they're alarmed by this, saying it's the latest a series of chilling steps by the Israeli government to stifle the media. When they do that, they're going to add more fuel to the fire that Israel is carrying out genocide. That will be the claim, and if you don't have these cameras in place, they're going to make it anyway, but the cameras would be some balance for it. CNN press bulletin on civilian casualties in Gaza, and that question backfired. That's coming before we wrap up this hour. Next hour, the former National Health Institute's director admits the government was the top source of COVID misinformation. Up next, the latest in the death of the Iranian president. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Pigeons, they are everywhere, and they're very good at dive bombing freshly washed cars. Wellington Environmental reminds you those droppings are more than a nuisance, they can be a major health issue. Especially massive droppings on buildings or in parking garages. So who do you call to safely clean it up? You do what many hospitals, universities, public buildings already do. You call Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental has been dealing with all kinds of hazards for 35 years. Special people, special skills, special equipment. Wellington gets it done. So to avoid health issues ranging from pigeon droppings to mold to chemical leaks, contact Wellington, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
If you haven't been to Lit Cigar Lounge in the District at Chesterfield, you're missing a great experience. Premium cigars, drinks, spacious seating, TVs in every direction. This and more explain why Lit was voted Best Cigar Lounge 2 years in a row. Now you can be at Lit and order Napoli Brothers pizza and pasta delivered to you. In fact, Napoli's just a few doors down. A coal-fired oven giving a unique taste. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, now open in the Chesterfield District.
Are you thinking about buying medicine online? A search for online pharmacies yields more than 20 million results. But which ones can you trust? Medicines bought from unlicensed online pharmacies can be dangerous. You may get a fake drug, your condition may get worse, or you may experience a bad reaction. Don't put your health at risk. To learn how to find an online pharmacy that's safe and legal, visit fda.gov/besaferx. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL.
I guess I grew up on an older road. A pedal to the metal, always did what I told. Until I found out that my brand new clothes came secondhand from the rich kids next door. And I grew up fast, I guess I grew up mean. There's a thousand things inside my head I wish I ain't seen. And now I just wander through a real bad dream. Or feeling like I'm coming apart at the seams. But thank you, Jack Daniel's, low number seven. Tennessee whiskey got me drinking in heaven. And
this is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. And my guest is an expert that we really wanted on board, and that's heritage expert, retired Special Forces Colonel Steve Bucci. Steve, glad to have you back on board, sir.
Oh, it's good to be on the show again, Larry. Thank you for having me back.
Well, there's several things I want to run through, so it's going to be kind of a forced march to some extent for you. Let me begin with this preface and then allow you time to go break it apart. Obviously, with the Iranian president's helicopter crashing the other day, I've seen pieces appearing on Facebook and elsewhere. Mossad is no accident, referring to Israeli operatives brought it down. And, of course, then you look at the recent assassination attempt to kill the Slovakian prime minister. Some are saying something's afoot to eliminate world leaders. Let's take it from there.
Well, I'm not quite ready to buy into either of those premises. The gentleman who tried who shot at the Slovakian president had some definite mental health issues. And with the helicopter crash, if you realize, Larry, that helicopter was flying around when I was a second lieutenant, that same aircraft, and that's quite a while ago.
Quite a while? Okay, go ahead.
Has not had a good supply of spare parts,
right,
or top-notch maintenance since then. It was obtained during the Shah's regime. And they were flying around in some of the worst weather I've ever seen anybody attempt to fly a helicopter in. And, you know, it's not like these guys fly for Task Force 160. My old special ops buddies, special ops aviators, they're not this good, or not as good as those, as 160th. It's much more likely that this was actually an accident. and that this guy went down. Now, having said that, it's not a bad thing that this guy died. He was a horrific person known as the Butcher of Tehran. There was dancing in the streets among many expat Iranian communities and some inside Iran.
That right.
was a lot more dangerous to do. But, you know, they can try and blame the Israelis. The Israelis are really good. I don't think they did this. I'm pretty sure America didn't do this, particularly with the administration we have right now. This was an accident and fortuitous for the people of Iran that, that this guy and the foreign minister are gone.
All right, before we go down that road and leave an assassination issue behind, and I agree with what you've been saying, but there's still these nagging little things biting at your heels, and that is inside his own country, he's got enough opposition that maybe somebody either wanted to step up with him gone, the one who's going to succeed him, obviously hopes, as he was apparently going to be, the supreme leader, not just the president. So with that comes a lot of money and prestige and control. Inside Iran, sabotage?
That's a possibility. That could have happened. But again, that's somebody really kind of playing it pretty sporty, because if they catch you did this, it's going to be a really long day for them. So, I mean, that does happen in regimes like this, but it's pretty dangerous. So absent other evidence, I think the most logical explanation is still an accident. But, you know, there is, I think an internal assassination was probably more likely than an Israeli one, and definitely than an American.
Now, to that extent, I've seen video on various sources of, as you said, Iranians and expats who are now in the U.S. or elsewhere outside Iran, but even in Iran, you were seeing rockets being fired, and I'm not too sure some of the video I saw was in Iran or not, but one featured a couple of women that took part in that women's movement when basically they were protesting the young woman who had been arrested and then later died in the custody of the Iranian authorities because she wasn't wearing her hijab correctly and didn't want to wear it at all. And so you remember when all those women were marching and protesting, and the government struck back harshly. One of them lost sight in an eye in this case. One carries shrapnel still in her arm. So, yeah, they've got a lot of people inside Iran that are thankful this guy's gone. But the question is, that was a devil you knew. What's a devil coming that you might not know?
Yeah, that is the problem. I mean, the interim people they've named and the likely candidates going forward are all going to come from the farthest hardline end of the Iranian spectrum. There's not going to be anybody coming in that's going to be a moderate of any sort, and no one that's going to get in there that, you know, is a likely candidate to try and get some accommodation with, you know, Israel, with the United States, or to make any particular changes at all. So the best we can hope for, Larry, is that some of these people that are celebrating right now, that when the government starts to crack down on them, which I think it will, that triggers a new uprising like the one they had after that young lady was arrested and tortured and killed, and that the larger part of the Iranian population finally say, enough's enough, let's get these guys out of there, and they overthrow them.
But now the other issue involves our own president. He's been trying to be buddy-buddy with this Iranian leader and Iran itself, and reauthorizing their ability to continue their building of their nuke, basically, although they say we're just trying to improve infrastructure, get our people out of the Stone Age, which they're lying, and, of course, dropping the sanctions around Iran and not really taking any action against them. When you look at how Biden has been responding, he now is saying basically that he supports Israel again because of the ICC charges being leveled. But I don't see him calling out for full reform in Iran as Donald Trump did at the UN meeting when he appeared in front of the UN.
That's right. They're not. The Biden administration has fully picked up the old Obama administration policy, as delusional as it appears to anybody who has worked with Iran or against Iran at all, that they think they're going to convince the Iranians to be responsible partners in peace with the United States. And I think that's just nuts. But there are people within the Biden administration that are pushing that agenda, the same as they did under President Obama. And President Biden seems to have bought off on it by allowing more funds to be released. There's been several spots where sanctions were waived to give them relief for it. All of these carrots being thrown to the Iranians. At the same time, they continue to say death to Israel, death to the United States. They continue to fund Hamas and Hezbollah and the Houthis. It's just crazy that they're doing that. But this administration seems to think it's the right way to go.
So let me get some quick notes from you in our closing minute and a half here about the International Criminal Council prosecutor deciding we're going to file charges, arrest warrants, basically, for Netanyahu, and, of course, members of Hamas as well. He's trying to balance it. But the very fact that they're charging Netanyahu with war crimes.
It's just incredibly ridiculous. They have now given to Hamas on a gold platter a court, an international court decision that Hamas and Israel are completely equals, and that there is a complete parity between the two actors on the international stage, morally, politically, and legally now. And that is just so wrong. The attacks on October 7th were a terrorist action by declared terrorists in the international realm, and Israel's response was a nation state responding to a terrorist attack, and to now declare a moral equivalency between them is a travesty of justice, and that the International Criminal Court should be repudiated for it. They should apologize for it, and the rest of the international community should reject it completely.
Well, I'd have to ask then, based on your strong words there, being very candid, are you holding your breath until they do?
No, but I hope enough people will stand up against it. There have been several countries that have said, no, we're not going to accept this ruling. We're not going to do anything to support it.
But France is. France is stepping up with them.
Yeah, well, the French tend to do that. Larry, they tried to do this to us.
Yeah.
George Bush and Donald Rumsfeld, and Secretary Rumsfeld said, fine, if that's what you want, I guess we'll move NATO out of Belgium.
Good point. All right, we've got to run. Thank you very much, as always, Colonel Steve Bucci with Heritage Foundation. Thank you, sir.
Take care, Larry. It's great
you
to
bet.
Talk to you.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
John Beal knows that right after a hailstorm, new roofing companies start popping up everywhere. But the Small Business Administration reports 96% of them go out of business within the first 5 years. So how good is that warranty? John Beal started in the roofing business helping his granddad and his dad. Always offering the best roof, best price, best guarantee. John Beal Roofing, not some fly-by-the-night operation. Call my friend John. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Hey, this is a great time to get fantastic deals at Ackerman Toyota, number one volume dealer in the area. Why? Very simple. They want to make you happy. They'll come up with a deal that puts you in the driver's seat. You'll be smiling as you drive off the lot. You got a trade-in? You're going to get top dollar from Ackerman. Looking for a premium used car truck? Ackerman is the answer. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA. That's a big game, man.
She's really losing control.
Don't try and ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
He is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Legal immigration is crazy right now.
The United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
My sponsor, McGuire Moving, has job openings for drivers and movers offering competitive pay. You can be off every night if you want or on the road. You're off every other weekend. Full benefits, insurance, paid vacations. But McGuire is a very good company, so here's a very important requirement. You must excel in making customers happy. Full or part-time job? More information, go to McGuireMoving.com. Apply online at McGuireMoving.com/careers.
This is News Talk STL.
I've been holding it so long. I've been sleeping all alone. Lord, I miss you. I've been hanging on the phone. I've been sleeping all alone. I won't miss you.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Ambassador, when you look at this, there is growing criticism of how Israel has conducted this war. I mean, do you believe that Israel has upheld international law since October 7th?
I haven't heard legitimate charges that it hasn't, and I think there's been a lot of hype propaganda. One very important point, just to prove that.
There's a lot of
United
dead
Nations,
civilians.
The United Nations.
A lot
Nations,
of dead Palestinians.
Well, let's talk about that. The United Nations just cut in half the number of women and children it reports killed in the Gaza conflict. Now, this is the United Nations accepting now the figures of the Hamas Ministry of Health as opposed to the Hamas Information Office. But the fact is that the total number of casualties and the number particularly of women and children killed has been out of whack. The UN, by its shift, concedes that numbers that have been used on women and children have been double what even another part of Hamas says. And I think this is a media problem, too, if I may say so.
Oh, I think you certainly can, and it certainly is a media problem because they amplify it and overblow it and recreate it. That is John Bolton, former National Security Advisor and, of course, former U.N. ambassador, U.S. ambassador, I should point out, for the U.N., and then in an interview with CNN. And, of course, you could hear the lilt in her voice and the approach about, well, casualties, all these women and children dying in Gaza. Bolton was not going to sit there and let her just rattle on and without any substance. So she's tried another question, and here's where it really blew up in her face.
Even if you are skeptical of that figure, as we've seen even President Biden express skepticism, we do know that a lot of women and children and Palestinian civilians have been killed.
Have they been colluding with Hamas? Do you have any information on that?
Palestinian babies?
Can women collude with Hamas? Can women collude with Hamas?
Little children that we're seeing, Ambassador, who are in hospital. I mean, we've talked
16,
to the doctors.
16.
Inside this, on this
16,
program,
17-year-olds.
But I'm talking about 4 years old,
four-year-olds,
and five-year-olds.
Let's take that. Fine. Let's take that. The question in conflict, in urban conflict, which the United States itself has faced as recently as Iraq with Fallujah and Mosul, is Israel targeting legitimate military targets, A, and B, has it taken into account the proportional collateral effects if it goes after those targets? There's no prohibition about civilian casualties. Otherwise, you wouldn't have urban conflict. And the studies that were done of American action in Fallujah and Mosul and other places in Iraq and Afghanistan have shown ratios of civilian to military casualties in the range of 5-1. In Gaza, by Hamas's own statistics, the range is 2-1. So I just think it's important to understand that when Hamas cynically, barbarically uses its own population as human shields, the morally culpable party here is Hamas.
Point made. Put an exclamation point with it. Now, when he was asking, have you any information if they were colluding with Hamas? And she said, oh, are you talking about little children? When actually, we've had instances, and I know of some who have been directly involved, such as during the Vietnam War, when they were approached by 4- and 5-year-old kids and realizing they're wearing a suicide vest. Maybe the kid doesn't plan on exploding it, but someone else nearby is going to trigger it. And yes, 12- and 14-year-olds have picked up grenade rocket launchers and used them as well. I'm not saying, not trying to dismiss the death of civilians who were not involved, but many of the women are married Hamas members. Their kids are Hamas children, and so it's hard to say if they are, quote, truly innocent as being free of Hamas. They may not want to be part of it anymore. They may not want to be taking action, and I still am in favor of protecting women and children if they're not directly involved in the combat. That's what Bolton is trying to make clear. You just can't blanketly assume the numbers you've been getting are correct. And if you're going to, are you going to ask, were they involved with Hamas? And, of course, the official state-controlled media approach is, well, that'd be stupid. That'd be stupid to think a 4- or 5-year-old could be involved as a Hamas terrorist. They could be unwillingly used, not only as a shield, but as a weapon, just as the dimwits, useful idiots on our campuses are pushing for PLO, Palestine from the river to the sea, and Hamas. I mentioned earlier about one thing that Israel has been doing or just started doing that I do have some concern about, and stating that even the Foreign Press Association issued a statement. It's alarmed, and that is that the Israeli decision is to take all of the live cameras and broadcast equipment belonging to the Associated Press, focusing on the northern Gaza Strip, and shut it all down, confiscate it. And I told you that I am against it. Quentin and I were discussing that off air, and it reminds me that I also need to point out there is a valid reason to do it, and it happens even in local communities. For instance, if a hostage or a gunman is holding several hostages in a house, we would basically censor ourselves. We would not put a chopper over the area showing the scene because they might be watching inside and they'll be able to see where the officers are stationed and what they're preparing to do. So we would not broadcast it. Self-censorship. And for those who would not willing to use that, but then there's also imposed censorship, not going to let choppers fly near the area, and then really restrict how close you're going to get. So there's a reason that has validity to it, but I want to be very careful this is not the first of a slippery slope when it comes to Gaza and Israel. I think it's against them and their best efforts and not going to work to their advantage. As you know, over the weekend, President Biden delivered an address to Morehouse College, all men's university, black university, and he was on one hand praising them, but at the same time speaking of a time that does not exist.
It's natural to wonder if democracy you hear about actually works for you. What is democracy? If black men are being killed in the street, What is democracy? The trail of broken promises still leave black communities behind. What is democracy? You have to be 10 times better than anyone else to get a fair shot. And most of all, what does it mean, as we've heard before, to be a black man who loves his country, even if it doesn't love him back in equal measure?
Now, that statement, when I heard it the other day, I wanted to do something with it, but I had so many other things with the crash of the Iranian president's helicopter and other things. But Bill Maher also reacted in a recent interview, and he had the same basic approach I did in listening to Joe Biden.
I mean, that speech would have made sense some years ago. Mm-hmm. I think we should acknowledge that racism still persists, and we should always be making remedial remedies for it. But we're not in the past. I always keep saying, let's live in the year we're living in. We're not living in the year where you have to be 10 times better
mm-hmm.
to succeed if you're a person of color. And in some instances, it's an advantage.
Yeah.
In some places, it's not an advantage. But we're not living in that world that he's talking about. And I don't think that helps anybody.
No, it just spurs more racial division. All right, coming up, you don't want to miss this. The battle between Butch Body and eyelashes takes another turn. It's not over. And in fact, with the help of Jake Tapper, eyelashes is pulling back the race card when we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I think your fake eyelashes are messing up.
No, ain't nothing.
Hold on. This is...
Order, Mr. Chairman.
That's beneath even you.
Order, engage the order of your committee.
Order.
I do have a point of order, and I would like to move to take down Ms. Green's words. That is absolutely unacceptable. How dare you attack the physical appearance of another person?
Are your feelings hurt?
Her words down.
Aww.
Oh, girl, baby girl.
Oh, really?
Don't even play.
Baby girl,
We are going to move, and we're going to take your words down.
I second that motion.
So who will have the details? Okay. Ms. Green agrees to strike her words.
I believe she needs to apologize. No.
Perry, okay, hold on. Then after Mr. Perry's going to be recognized, then Ms. Green.
I'm not apologizing.
Well, then
okay,
you're
reserve
not
the right to object.
I am not apologizing.
As I told you the other day when we first ran this has no news value, but it has value to show you how things are going or not going in Congress. There you had Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett, Democrat, facing off against Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia, Republican. And they had an epic clash, obviously, as you were hearing going on. And the reference to the eyelashes is apparently what set things off from Crockett. And then she started, baby girl, don't you start doing that? Oh, well, there was more to it. But let's go first, before we hear more of it, let's go to Jake Tapper talking to Jasmine Crockett. And Jake actually sets in motion, here's your race card. Do you want to use it?
You have since called her racist, yeah. Congresswoman Green. I want to understand your perspective of this. Do you think her going after your eyelashes, that in itself is racist?
I think her specifically doing it to me, yes, that was the intent. As has been stated, you know, women wear makeup, we wear lashes, we wear all types of things to beautify ourselves. But MAGA has historically been on social media doing the things where they're saying, oh, she's black with lashes and nails and hair, and so she's ghetto. And so to me, this was her buying into that rhetoric and trying to amplify this for the MAGA crowd. And so, yeah, I absolutely think that she only did it to be racist towards me.
I have not seen anything of what she's referring. I'm not saying some doesn't exist or they won't now be created, but I have not seen anything like that. I know white women with thick, thick eyelashes. It looks like it'll lift them off the face of the earth. And it's not appealing to me, but apparently for them it is. It's not a color thing, but we're going to make it a color and a race thing. And there's more to that part of the story. But let's go back to the battle that took place the other day between eyelashes and butch body.
I'm just curious, just to better understand your ruling, if someone on this committee then starts talking about somebody's bleach blonde, bad built butch body, that would not be engaging in personalities, correct?
A what now?
Chairman, I make a motion to strike those words.
I don't think that's
Hold
a
on.
Part of it.
I'm trying to find clarification on what quality.
Chairman, motion to strike
those
words.
I had no idea
words.
What you just said.
We're not gonna do this. Look, you guys, earlier, literally just
oh, you just, God you just
first.
Voted to do
God
it.
Did it first, so you voted to do it.
Order,
Marjorie,
order.
I'm trying to get
okay.
clarification. Look at, calm down.
No, because this is what y'all do. So I'm trying
to
get clarification.
Ms. Crockett, you're not recognized. Ms. Crockett.
I can't hear you with your yelling.
Don't want me
calm
to
down.
Be, no.
Can you please calm
don't
down?
Don't tell me to calm down.
Calm down.
Because y'all talk noise, and then you
you're out of control.
Because if I come and talk shit about her, y'all gonna have a problem.
Mr. Chairman.
Order, please. You tell her to calm down. That was the worst thing you could do. You just threw fuel on the fire. Now, Crockett has decided she is now claiming ownership of that jab, calling Georgia Congresswoman Green butch body. Now, I was wondering, where are those who come out on the lesbian crowd saying, how dare you, because that's often a reference to lesbian women, but a derogatory slur in a way, I would thought, but I don't see any of them coming out and making any claims. But Crockett is now going to start marketing T-shirts, hoodies, pencils, other accessories, hats, socks, wearing the phrase, butch body. Well, for her response, Green defines her physique saying, yes, my body is built and strong, not with nips, tucks, plastics, or silicone, but through a healthy lifestyle. Oh, end of that chapter? No, not really. Well, maybe end of the chapter, but the book is yet to continue. And you know we'll be watching it for you. I want to impress on you again, I'm not declaring this is of news value. It's entertainment. But it's damn good entertainment, isn't it? Put both of them in the ring and let's have a cage match. Let's start all over again. What do you think? Coming up, a source, the former NIH director, admits the government was the top source of COVID misinformation. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.